Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, how you guys doing?
5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Grand Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Mully and Haw. Bigs time.
The Bigs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us now on the Signature Bank Score Hotline. Signature Bank, making commercial banking personal. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you're the man, and we have questions. What was your take? Is there a take that you had seeing the kind of public persona of Justin Fields yesterday? Is it wrong that we're picking apart everything with this kid? It wasn't the same kind of performance he had a week ago, and what does that mean, if anything?
Yeah, well, we talked about it a week ago, how he was really good in the press conference coming out of the poor performance at Green Bay. But I think the thing we said was how the guy performs in the press conference has absolutely nothing to do with what happens on the field. And the only thing we're really interested in evaluating is how he performs on the field. Yes, I think that quarterback position has got a CEO leadership type thing to him, and that fans are going to look to that. But ultimately what the fans want to see is the performance, and the performance continues to be poor. He's on pace to pass for 1,683 yards this season, and the Bears have had the fewest pass attempts in the NFL for a starting quarterback 3 weeks in a row. And you're starting to look at it and say, you know what? I think this is by design by the coaches. We will see if he can show some improvements Sunday against the Giants in the Meadowlands. Not a very talented Giants team, but the defensive coordinator, Wink Martindale, does a lot of exotic stuff. And I would imagine the Bears understand that there's probably going to be some unscouted looks they're presented with in this game.
Brad, are the limitations of the wide receiving core hindering the development of Justin Fields, or are the limitations of Justin Fields limiting the development of the wide receiving core?
Yeah, I know the first narrative in this town is usually to blame the offensive line for the quarterback, and then you work your way to the wide receiver group. And could those units be better? Sure. But I think the critique of the quarterback position needs to begin with the quarterback. There have been plenty of instances of open receivers where the ball's either coming out late or not coming out at all this season. And so I don't know how you could sort of wrap your arms around this idea that the wide receivers and the lack of talent there is leading Fields to, the Bears are doing stuff offensively that hasn't been done in four decades. It's not all on the wide receivers here, and I just don't think that that would paint a very complete or accurate picture of what's going on. The quarterback has been really bad.
Yeah, and I think that we talk about the protection and the weapons, and we talk about the quarterback all the time. Does the return or the debut of Velus Jones change anything? Is that going to help them with field position? Is he going to return? How bad is the hammy? What do you think?
I would think that he's got a good chance of making his debut against the Giants. Limited in practice last week with the hamstring. Limited again yesterday. But they're trying to ramp him up. Is it possible he's a full participant today? We ought to know by 3 o'clock this afternoon. And I think what happened is they thought he was getting close a while back, and there was a setback. So they're trying to be maybe a little bit more cautious, understanding that you can't force these things with the soft tissue injuries. Let's assume Velus Jones is available against the Giants. Should give them a boost in the return game. And I think you get him out there on offense a little bit and see what he can do. The thing you've got to keep in mind with him is he's missed a lot of time on the practice field, on the grass, as Eberflus refers to it, since going back to about mid-August. So I don't think his presence as a wide receiver is going to dramatically change the passing game, but maybe they can funnel some things through him. Possibly run some jet sweeps to him and see if with that speed and talent in the open field, he can provide a spark.
What did you make of Matt Eberflus's rather guarded reaction to the question about how to properly recover a fumble?
I was more amused than anything. The idea that they potentially had some proprietary information in terms of fumble recoveries within the walls of Hallis Hall that they couldn't share with the rest of the league. But then he talked about there being two different types of fumbles and using terms that we've heard coaches use in the past. You've got a city fumble, which is, guys, you're out on Michigan Avenue and there's people all around you. And then you've got a country fumble where, you're out in the middle of Indiana and there's no one else around, and you would obviously use a different technique. He talked about bending and to try to scoop and score. So I think he tried to keep some of his fumble recovery technique a secret, which is sort of what I found amusing.
This segment with Brad Biggs brought to you by Finishing Chicago. All great finishes start with finishingchicago.com. And Brad, it's amusing because he also they've got a process in place for their halftime adjustments. And we know that the defense has been pretty good in the second half. They've only allowed 12 points on 4 field goals all year, and he defended that process like a state secret too, which I got no problem with. If something's working, why would you want to reveal it? Why would you want to tip anyone to anything? He treats everything like it is a competitive advantage, but what the hell? Who cares?
Right, and maybe some of them truly are competitive advantages for them. And you're not really sure which one it might be, so you just kind of keep a lid on all of them. Yeah, they've been particularly good in the second half, which could go in part to the way they practice, guys, right, in terms of stamina and things of that nature. But I thought it was interesting yesterday that he announced that they were shortening practice for the next couple weeks by a little bit, not a lot, 15 minutes, 12 to 15 minutes maybe. And I think that's probably in reaction to some of the practice injuries that they've had. Jalen Johnson, the cornerback, still out yesterday with a quad. Matt Adams, the strong side linebacker, injured a hamstring in practice last week. And so I think it's probably related to that. He wants them to practice hard. he said? He said you can't play hard and live soft. Okay, that's kind of his mantra. So the hope is that they can still continue to push the players in practice, and maybe they'll be a little bit safer if they sort of shorten it down just a little bit. So they've still got plenty of time to get their work in, but they're not maybe running the risk of having some of these players overexerted.
Brad, I think you look at Sunday's game, and there are two ways I think that the star could step forward and take over. One, I think, is with the Giants. If Saquon Barkley gets hot, breaks an explosive play, then all of a sudden that makes an impact. But also with the Bears defensively, Robert Quinn against Evan Neal has got to be one of the biggest mismatches to try to exploit on Sunday. Now, how do they help the rookie right tackle? How do they address what happened against Dallas, make sure it doesn't happen again? I don't know, but Robert Quinn seems like a guy who would be looking forward to this opportunity as much as anybody on that defense.
Yeah, and I imagine the Giants are very aware of that, and they'll probably be looking to help Evan Neal quite a bit, which is what I think we talked about last week. The Bears have consistently been doing with Braxton Jones. If it's not a screen or some kind of really quick throw or maybe a play action, he's getting some kind of help on almost every passing down. So I would imagine the Giants would look to do that. And just for football in general, I think it's nice to see Saquon Barkley playing well again. Of course, originally injured guys a couple of years ago at Soldier Field. Remember that?
Yep.
That's where he first ran into his health problems because he's been a pretty dynamic player when he's healthy. And the Bears have to limit him a little bit. He's averaging 6 yards a carry, and the Giants have been able to run the ball successfully.
When we think about this game in particular, obviously the Giants have allowed a couple of 100-yard rushers already this year. They will probably try to concentrate on figuring out a way to stop the run before the Bears get up and running, but that's what the Bears do best. Do you anticipate that they will be able to gain yards in the same fashion in which they have been?
You would hope so, right? I mean, I have to imagine the game plan is to go in there and hope that game situation allows the Bears to have 35-40 handoffs, right? I mean, that you'd have to think that they want to do that. The last 2 weeks, Tony Pollard of the Cowboys, Christian McCaffrey of the Panthers have gone over 100 yards against that Giants defense. And you've got to go back to – I looked it up the other day. Off the top of my head, I want to say it's 2005 is the last time the New York Giants have allowed a 100-yard rusher in three consecutive weeks. So they've been really bad defending the run, and the Bears haven't been good defending the run either, guys. You know, that you talk about the two defenses and where are they struggling. Neither one has done a great job against the run. So I think you're going to see a ton of Khalil Herbert. Maybe Montgomery can go, but he didn't practice.
Did we lose Brad there?
Yeah, I think we did.
We'll reconnect.
Yeah, we'll have to get back to Bigsy because we lost him for a second there. It really is kind of fascinating to think about the fact that now and we're back. Big Z, I was just going to say, the fact is we have a good feel for teams now. We're three games in. It's not the first week of the season. You're starting to see identities build a little bit. You know, I think that it's been a slower process. I don't know if that's the shortened preseason, the fact no one plays in the preseason, the fact so many players have moved around. But I think we know who these teams are.
I think so, but I also think, Brad, that there's some good teams with bad records.
Yeah,
and I'm surprised by that.
Yeah, and the Giants could be a bad team with a good record, right? I mean, I think that's certainly what a lot of people are thinking. And while while we've acknowledged the Giants' run defense has not been good, they also only have 3 sacks, guys, which is a little eye-opening. And they haven't got an interception yet. So you look at that and you say, well, at some point that's going to happen. But what they have done a pretty good job of in New York is getting off the field on third down. Opponents are less than 28% on third down. So that's doing a pretty good job of bringing the punter on the field. The Bears, for instance, opponents are at just over 42% on third down against the Bears. So New York has done a good job with that.
And Brad, I think it just, you reiterated this in your mailbag, and you talked about this coming out of Sunday's victory as well in your 10 thoughts. The importance to emphasize, this regime, like it or not, is going to prioritize winning over developing a quarterback. They're not going to forsake game plans. They're not going to gear, you know, an entire week toward throwing the ball 40 times at the expense of trying to win the football game, because there's value in creating this culture, because you've got 52 other guys that they feel a responsibility to.
Absolutely. And they've got positions that they badly need to develop and improve. And you've got to put these guys in a position to have success. You go out there and have Fields chuck it all over the place and you get blown out. You don't give these guys at other positions an opportunity to succeed. Would it do Justin Fields any good right now to triple the number of pass attempts, double the number of pass attempts he has per game? I don't know. You know, I mean, I think you've got to try to find something he can have some success with and build off it a little bit and get a little momentum. But, you know, Eberflus talked yesterday about how they're kind of reinforcing the positives with them. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, and that's a pretty short quarterback meeting, right? He had a nice throw to Cole Kmet in the last game, one of what, 7 or 8 completions. You don't throw a parade for making a basic 20-yard pass on a drag route. So the quarterback has got to get better. That will allow them a little more flexibility, I think, in their play calling. Credit to the offensive line for the way they've been able to run block so far. They have found something offensively that they can sort of hang their hat on. As we talked about earlier in the week, the Bears haven't run the football like this since really the mid-1980s, and the challenge is to kind of keep that going as opponents are going to adjust, probably put an extra defender in the box and try to take that away and say, hey, beat us with Justin Fields.
Who's the center? Who's the right guard? Any ideas?
Yeah, I think that's sort of an ongoing experiment that we know the three people in the mix there, Sam Mustipher, Lucas Patrick, Tevin Jenkins. But I think that, they are practicing these guys hard. There's certain things they want to see, and they are showing, based on the move last week where they just flip, Patrick into the starting lineup, Tevin is the next guy in their rotation, that they will adjust and make moves. So that is going to be something to keep an eye on at kickoff on Sunday, because I don't believe you would rotate centers, would you swap the center out? I suppose it's possible.
Brad, I don't think anybody worries about the drop-off between David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert, because we saw what Herbert is capable of, and certainly he's off to a very good start. The question I would have is that if Montgomery doesn't play on Sunday, and it doesn't seem like he's going to do that, the drop-off between Herbert as a second complimentary back and Trestan Ebner, I think, is something you have to keep an eye on in terms of production, in terms of pass protection, if he plays on third downs. Do you think Khalil Herbert will just play more snaps as the number one running back in the David Montgomery role than maybe Montgomery would if Herbert were his complement, because of the lack of trust or experience in Ebner?
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair question. And, Montgomery, I didn't see him at all yesterday. Didn't see him in the locker room, didn't see him on the practice field. My guess is he was probably in the training room. Can he come back and be close to 100% this week? We'll have to see. But I think you're probably on the right track there, and meaning maybe a greater portion of the snaps for Khalil Herbert. You want to find some spots to give him a blow, to give him some rest on the sideline, and have Ebner in there. But you've probably got to be careful about how much you give him. They like Trestan Ebner, though, guys, and he can do more than just catch the ball out of the backfield. He's got 7 carries so far. So it'll be interesting to see what he can do with his opportunities if he's got a bigger piece of the action because Montgomery is sidelined against the Giants. And I'm with you. My guess would be Montgomery's going to miss a week, but he's a pretty tough character and you never know.
How big a game could Robert Quinn have? I mean, we just watched Monday Night Football. We just saw Daniel Jones basically running for his life. I mean, is this the kind of game where this guy is expected to dominate?
Well, you come off a season with 18 and a half sacks, and you should dominate more Sundays than not, right? I think you're talking about I would focus on the pass rush as a whole getting going because they had some success, I think, against the 49ers. You saw a couple rushes in week two by Trevis Gipson up in Green Bay, but they haven't got the consistent pressure yet that they want. Quinn seems to line up on the right side a little bit more than the left side. So maybe he would get more of Andrew Thomas, who's been an underwhelming young player for the Giants on that O-line. But I think the whole group has a chance to get going. That's how I'd look at it. You obviously start that conversation with Robert Quinn, but Gipson, what can the rookie Dom Robinson do?
Yeah.
You know, we haven't seen him flash much since week one. Can they get some pressure in the middle from Justin Jones and some of those other guys? And then Eberflus, when he was asked about the pass rush guys, mentioned wanting to see the nickel involved and some of the linebackers. So keep an eye on a blitzing Kyler Gordon.
Great stuff. Appreciate it, Brad.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
You too.
That is Brad Biggs, the football man from the Chicago Tribune.
And you know what? We will break down the Bears-Giants game on the Take the North podcast, which will drop Friday morning. You can download Tuesday's episode now, along with Dan Wiederer. We look at Bears, all things about this weekend and last weekend's game on the Take the North podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
312-644-6767. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Mornings with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
What's the process like for you personally about putting a game behind you, whether it's what you wanted or whether it's not what you wanted, and moving on to the next one?
Yeah, I just learned from my mistakes. And, you know, I mean, when you don't have a game that you want to play as well in, I mean, all I really know, my response to that is really just, you know, get back to work and, you know, keep working.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of The Score. That is the voice of Justin Fields. He is the Bears quarterback, and we have talked kind of ad nauseum about the mediocrity. I mean, listen, the bad performances that
the
passing
bad.
Game's had.
It's worse than mediocre.
Yes, you're right.
It's not been acceptable.
No.
And so in the context of that, it's been negative, and it's inevitable. But there are those out there that can find a glimmer of hope, or at least a point of comparison that would make you think that it's not going to be like this forever. You can get off to a slow start in your NFL career as a quarterback, even a franchise quarterback, and still recover if you have the right coaching, the right talent around you, and certainly you do your part the way Josh Allen did, okay? Josh Allen is a guy that got this text yesterday from our guy Dave Wanstead, who does have a vested interest in having Justin Fields succeed. He wants to see that happen.
Sure.
He's been around the game a long time. We value his opinion. And so he pointed this out, and I think he got the information somewhere on the Twitter machine, but through their first 13 games, both Josh Allen and Justin Fields have 4-7 records as starting quarterback. They have both completion percentages in the 50s. Josh Allen, 52%. Justin Fields, 58%. Josh Allen had 536 rushing yards in his first 13 games. Justin Fields has 468. 9 touchdowns versus 7 touchdowns. Justin Fields, 9 TDs passing. Josh Allen, 7. The interceptions are very similar, too. Josh Allen threw 11. Justin Fields has 13. The point of it is that, yes, Josh Allen took off after that. Yes, you can make the arguments that they got him some weapons, and boy, look what happened after they got a team around him, and he took advantage of that, and that guy is special. The same things were being said about Justin Fields at the end of last year, at the end of this training camp, not that long ago, that he had special qualities. So I guess pointing that out is just, not that he's going to follow the same course or trajectory, but it can happen, especially for a guy who has had so many people who do this for a living evaluate him and have such high expectations. Could they all be so wrong about a player like Justin Fields? Not sure yet. Early results this season aren't good, but you can turn things around, and Josh Allen is a guy who did.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not arguing with you about it, but I think that Josh Allen, where did he play? Wyoming? I mean, he was kind of in the middle of nowhere, and he got into the NFL, and he was a seventh, I think, overall.
He was drafted higher than Justin Fields.
And he was a guy that had kind of had to come onto the big stage, had to figure out kind of how to play in the NFL. Justin Fields came from Ohio State. After being at Georgia, I'm just saying.
I understand, Molly. Look, and I want to be clear here.
Yeah.
I'm presenting this information. I'm not necessarily presenting this argument.
If we were talking about the San Francisco quarterback, right?
Trey Lance.
If Trey Lance were healthy and he were here and we were having that comparison, I just think that might be more kind of, country mouse, city mouse.
Okay, let me ask you this. Is it because of the competition that Justin Fields played against in college that you think that you expect more? Or you think that the arc is he's not going to be the same? Because Josh Allen, now that we have discovered him, now that he's in this environment where he's surrounded by more talent than he ever was at college, you saw that growth and that kind of lifted him up?
Yeah, I think
and he met the challenge.
I think that's one of the comparisons that I would center on.
It's
Justin Fields had a better team around him in college than he does in the NFL. And I don't think that that's the case for Josh Allen.
Which goes back to the criticism of Justin Fields. Ohio State and the talent that was surrounding him in college helped helped make him into a better player than maybe he actually is or was, because he was throwing the ball to a spot and the stable of future first-round draft picks was catching it, and he was playing against teams where they had superior athletic ability, so he didn't have to do as much, and maybe his accomplishments were exaggerated.
Maybe.
Okay. I think that's fair. That's a good counter to that. And again, I just
don't know that you can say Josh Allen and Justin Fields. I get the idea that you want one guy to become the other guy.
You want to believe it if you're a Bears fan.
You do.
You want to cling to that hope.
But all the evidence would be contrary to that thus far. I'm not saying that Justin Fields, that there's no hope and that he can't turn things around. I'm saying, boy, this doesn't look good. And I, honest to God, it hasn't looked good. And frankly, it's still early, but it's trending the wrong way.
Well, that's why I think that those numbers that Coach Wanstead sent me yesterday are more interesting than telling, because it shows you that Josh Allen overcame a lot. And boy, look at him now. He's an MVP candidate. But I think that what's happened this year is not the continuation of the arrow going up with Justin Fields. What you've seen is the arrow at the end of last season, and that was a good debate as well. But if you want to argue that, okay, after 10 games, uneven as it was, you could see good things and you could build off.
There was promise. Hints, there were hints.
There was progress.
We haven't seen.
We've seen regression.
We've seen regression.
And that's the problem, and that's what prevents me from being too far over our skis here in presenting this evidence. Is just there for a point of comparison, but I'm not putting much stock in it because we haven't seen enough to believe.
We've seen the coaching staff doesn't trust the guy. That's what we've seen.
They're telling us how to respond.
That's exactly right.
They're guiding us down that path.
Yes, they are.
And I think you're going to see more of that against the Giants on Sunday, because they are going to take the obvious. I like the common sense approach of this coaching staff, and it gets a team susceptible to the run that you can, you know, you got an offensive line that does something very well and has blocked the run. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, I think you're right on it there. So 312-644-6767. Bernie is in Algonquin and wants to talk about Justin Fields. Hey, Bernie.
Hey, good morning, guys. What would be wrong if Justin Fields comes out playing like trash in the first half to start Simeon in the second half? What would be wrong with that?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a fair question, because I think that is a direction that a lot of people wonder this is going, but I don't know that you're going to do that. That's where I think the development of the quarterback has to at least be in your mind.
Yeah.
You can't damage his confidence or his psyche to that degree.
Here's the thing, and all due respect, I love watching Trevor Siemian. I watched his college career. I mean, I literally went to a lot of the games in his college career. I got a lot of time for the guy. That's a guy that can get you out of a game. That's a guy that could be a spot starter if you were desperate. That's not a guy that you want to build a team around and have kind of run the gamut for the rest. Justin Fields is the investment. That's the player.
Well,
that's the guy. Do not damage him for any short-term goal.
Also, you want to know what you have in him, and you're still kind of in the act of discovery. You're finding out what he's made of. You're finding out what he's capable of. You already know with Trevor Siemian, the ideal backup quarterback is already he's going to be what he is, and not
great,
much more than that.
Great
network. You want to avoid also the situation that they're facing, frankly, in New England right now. Mac Jones goes down with an injury, high ankle sprain. How long he'll be out, I don't know. But Brian Hoyer is going to replace him. And there's some people that are suggesting that Brian Hoyer might be a better fit for the Patriots at this stage of the season with this offense and the limitations that Mac Jones has shown. You don't want to get there with Justin Fields.
When is the last time Brian Hoyer won a game in the NFL?
I don't know.
I mean, honest to God, but I don't remember Brian Hoyer winning a game for a long-ass time.
Was it with the Bears, maybe? I don't know when
it was. Honestly, I think it was against the Bears. Didn't he beat the Bears at one point?
He might have. He's been around for a long time, Mully. I think that
I've got to look that one up.
He's one of these guys that just hangs around. And Trevor Siemian, to some degree, you can see him being one of those guys as well. Reliable, dependable, limited. And he is somebody that if they are trailing in the second half against the Giants and Justin Fields is struggling mightily, I think that that's an opportunity to see if Justin Fields can recover, to see if he can respond. You're still in the midst of of that kind of a season, and you don't want to – that's where I think that developing Justin Fields is worthwhile, to see if he could lead your team back if you indeed are trailing at halftime.
Yeah. Brian Hoyer has 11 straight losses as a backup quarterback. Not trying to offend anyone. I believe the last team he beat was the Bears, and I believe it's years ago.
He has played for a lot of teams.
Yes, he has.
Wow.
Yes, he has. All right. We've got to I got to look that one up. I don't know why it stands out in my mind that he beat the Bears, but that does. Let's take a moment. We're going to bring in Tommy Hotovy. We're going to talk a little.
Oh, yeah.
Hayden was nasty.
Well, he was nasty. He had not an immaculate game, but certainly an impressive one.
Yeah, he's getting it done, and we'll talk to the Cubs pitching coach about that. Next, Mully and Haw on the Score.
Was nasty there, or was nasty?
Pitching coach Tommy Hotovy of the Cubs wearing the blue pullover.
Tommy Hotovy, pitching coach for the Chicago Cubs.
You're transitioning from being a player to kind of getting into baseball. You take an online class, was it, at Boston U? Sabermetrics 101?
Yeah. Good, I was answer. A finance major in college, and I had an economics minor. A lot of it was to, I'm going to refresh all my econ knowledge, and I'm going to do it in a baseball course. It's like one of the best things ever.
There's just a lot of trust there with Tommy. We know he's such a hard worker. He puts in all the hours and really, really knows what he's talking about when it comes to pitching.
Tommy Hotovy, breaking down the starting rotation and bullpen on the north side with Mullin Haw.
I'm here for one reason. I want to help these guys get better, and we want to win baseball games.
Tommy Hotovy on 670 The Score.
Tommy! Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Tommy Hotovy, and he joins us on the Signature Bank Score Hotline. Signature Bank, making commercial banking personal. Tommy, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great.
Yeah, really enjoy watching Hayden was nasty, as David is now calling him. really enjoy watching him pitch. The immaculate inning was a lot of fun. I would argue that seeing him kind of struggle a little, battle out of some bad situations, that was equally fun.
Yeah, I agree with you. We talked a little bit. Media was asking me some questions just about some of the young guys yesterday. And one thing I said, even before the game, that I think I've been the most impressed with Hayden is just how he handles all the situations that he's been in the game up to that point, whether it's successful innings, whether it's battling through some traffic. And he's handled that. It doesn't seem like the moment really ever gets too big for him. And I think he did a great job of doing that last night, limiting the damage when he had the opportunity to, pitching himself out of some jams, just simplifying the approach to executing pitches, not trying to do too much. A lot of times when you see young guys in those situations, it's like, I'm not going to allow any runs. I'm not going to allow anything. I'm going to try to get a double play, those sort of things. And that's when things can spiral on you. And I thought he handled himself great last night.
You know, Tommy, since the All-Star break, I think your starting pitchers have had the third lowest ERA in all of baseball. And you're using a lot of young guys. And we saw Wisniewski, who's impressive. And we've seen Assad, who goes today, and Keegan Thompson, Justin Steele. When you project these things, how hard is it to avoid, you know, getting too far ahead of yourself, especially in their minds, because – you know, everybody wants to be part of that 2023 rotation, and yet there's only going to be so many spots, and you don't know how the offseason is going to go. So how do you keep these guys in the moment?
Well, I think they understand, especially the young guys, they're still trying to prove, you know, that they can do with what we all feel like they can do at this level. They're out there still learning, still hungry, still wanting to get better. And in this game, you know, really in anything in life, you just want an opportunity to show what you can do. And these guys are getting that opportunity, and they're making the most of it. And I think for an organization, you can evaluate guys at the minor league level, you know, up and down the organization, projecting what you think they may or may not be able to do in the big leagues. But until you get them here, until you give them that opportunity, you don't really know. You know, you don't really know how they're going to react when there's three and four decks and 35,000-40,000 people in the stands, and you're playing a team in a playoff hunt, you know, fighting, you know, trying to win every at bat. So I think we really stay focused on finishing this season strong, not letting them, you know, mentally check out because you've had a couple, three, four, five good outings. And a lot of times you see young guys maybe come up and have success, maybe three, four outings, and then maybe that one outing they get hit around a little bit. How do they react? Do they get out of the strike zone? Do they start pitching away from contact? Those are the type of things you want to see. You want to see how more so how do they react to some of the harder times during the game, more so than how they do when everything is rolling. So that's something we really enjoy getting to see from these young guys.
Yeah, and I think that the foundation that we've seen, you know, it just makes you wonder what the approach will be to next year's team, right? I mean, you guys went out this year and you brought in Marcus Stroman and Smiley and Miley, and then you have Hendricks, and it was a veteran-laden staff, and all those guys have had various setbacks at different points in the season, but I think all the young guys have been a revelation, so you wonder how does that impact next year, and are they all kind of trying to make a bid for a rotation spot next season?
Yeah, I've said this before, and I'll say it probably for as long as I'm doing this in this game and doing this job, and I'm not saying this because I'm the pitching coach. Good starting pitching in this league wins games. I mean, when you have consistent guys going out there and putting up numbers, putting up zeros, keeping your team in the game, good things happen. And I just don't think you can have enough good starting pitching options, good depth options, good long man options. Like guys like Adrian Sampson, who comes in and you know, was in the bullpen and a long guy, and then he can come in and spot start. Next thing you know, he's on a 17-game stretch where he's got like a 2.7 ERA or a 3 ERA. So, you know, I think it just shows you the value of having options, having guys that can step up and fill in. And then once you get everybody healthy, that's when you get on those runs. So, I mean, I just think no matter how these guys finish, no matter how well things look, I just still think there's always an opportunity to go out and solidify a spot on your team that makes it easier to win ball games.
I want to go a little deeper on Wisniewski for a moment, Tommy, because most recently he pitched last night, but also David Ross has complimented his approach a couple times, talking about at Pittsburgh, and I think he went out before the game even started just to get a sense and just to kind of visualize that kind of success. His slider speaks for itself, I think, because it's one of the nastiest pitches that you're going to see from a young guy. What is it about him that allows him, and I think the way you put it was, he's not chasing results. He's still focused on the process, and as long as he prioritizes the process, he's going to find success.
Yeah, I think it's such an underrated skill to have in this game, is the ability to control your thoughts, control your mind, and being able to put yourself in the position to where no matter what situation you're going to be in, you're going to be ready for it. And it's the attention to detail. It's the little things. It's the going out to the mound in a stadium you've never been to before and kind of take it in, look around, take in your surroundings, get an idea of what that looks like. We do some of the guys go out there the day before their start and they do some visualization drills and visualization techniques on the mound, like visualizing yourself having success, visualizing yourself, you know, executing the pitches you know you want to do. And we've had some very good veteran guys here in the past that have done that. We've passed that along to some of these young guys that are coming up. And again, the mental side of the game, the preparation, the focus is such an important part. We talk about the talent, you talk about the stuff and the slider and all those things, but the separator a lot of times is how guys can work through and do that. And again, credit to his background, you know, credit to where he came from and what he's done, the work he's put in to get here. And now we just get to keep helping him grow, helping him to continue on the trajectory he's on, because he's here because of the work he's put in, you know, and it's fun to get to work with him.
Yeah, I don't know that there's a better developmental story out there than Brandon Hughes going from outfielder to reliever. He's kind of a closer. What's his long-term prospects in that role? And obviously, you know, he's a pretty damn good story here.
Well, he just continues to go out there and show us that he's he can do this. He can do this at a high level. I mean, you know, from where he's been in this organization, what he's been through, the things you hit on, he's not afraid of any moment. And I don't know if it's just that position player mentality where he's ready to go every day and wants to be in there every day and wants to go. But, you know, if this guy can stay healthy and we can take care of him, finding leverage left-handed relievers in this game is tough. And you try to develop them, you try to bring them up. But when you find guys like that, when you guys find guys that can not only get big lefties out but have – pretty good splits, are able to be at righties out, can pitch big moments, can handle the big moments, good athlete, all the things you want. It's been amazing to see. It has been eye-opening that a guy can have that transition that fast and handle himself well. And the big question for Brandon is going to be, you know, this is his first real heavy full workload as a pitcher. You know, how does the offseason look? How does he recover over the winter? How's he coming to spring training? How can we protect him, but also how can we continue to build on what he's done? And we talk a lot about these guys at this time of year, like all the work you put in over the last couple of years got you to this point. It doesn't stop. Actually, it gets harder. How you maintain your body, how you're able to be ready to go every day, make 70, 75, 80 appearances. So, it's been fun. Brandon's a great guy to be around. He's fun to be around. Obviously expecting big things out of him.
Great stuff, Tommy. Great talking to you. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Tommy.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You too. That is Tommy Hotovy, the Cubs pitching coach. That's a happy story, the Cubs pitching.
Huh? Really? The Cubs pitching? The Cubs in general, since the All-Star break, they are certainly putting together and finishing strong.
Yeah, it's amazing. It really is amazing. And there's so many guys to talk about. There's so many young players that have had success.
And no, the pressure's not there. Yeah. They're not in a pennant race. No. The stakes aren't high, but it takes a lot, too. It's not a roster as talented as some, and yet they're getting the most out of it.
No question. All right. We've got Steve Stone joining us next. Less happiest story than the Cubs pitching. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.